This is the story of Papuan. It has been customary since the time of the Buddha for monks to visit lay people as they lay in their deathbed, to help them leave this world for the next in the best possible way. In the last hours of his life, Papuan, one of Lumpa's closest lay disciples, received such a visit. Papuan and his wife Metang were the first lay supporters of Wat Papong to come from the local town of Warin. After spending a rains retreat as a monk, Papuan asked to disrobe, saying that the monastery still lacked many necessities and he wanted to encourage other people from Warin to help him raise the necessary funds. Before long, he had arranged the purchase of a monastery bell, and sometime later, he offered a large grandfather clock for the Dhamma Hall. His greatest joy was to come when he, his family, and friends sponsored the casting of the brass Buddha statue that became the central feature of the Wat Papong Dhamma Hall. After he disrobed, Papuan would still go to the Wat. Every Wat is a Thai word for monastery. Every observance day, keep the 8 precepts and listen to Dhamma. As his health declined in his later years, he offered to donate his skeleton to the monastery after his death as a memento mori, and asked Lumpa to pick up his body straight after his death and to prepare the skeleton in the monastery. At the beginning of 1963, when his doctors announced that there was nothing more they could do for him, Papuang's family took him out of the hospital to spend the last days of his life at home. On the 12th of January, Papuang's condition suddenly became much worse. He became unable to speak or open his eyes. He lay in his bed, groaning incessantly. His wife and children sat with him, but were unable to relieve his pain. On the 13th of January, Lumpa, together with Ajahn Jan and a number of other monks, were offered their daily meal in the local army camp. After the meal was over, Lumpa told Colonel Sombun, the commanding officer, that he wanted to visit Papuan and asked if he could arrange a truck. The colonel said he would order a smaller, more comfortable vehicle, but Lumpa repeated that a truck would be fine. Ponu, a lay attendant, asked him whether he was going to visit Papuan or pick up his corpse. Lumpa said, "Pick up the corpse." Ponu was puzzled. "How are you going to do that? He's still alive. Do you think his family would just give him to you? He said to pick his body up after he's dead, didn't he?" Lumpa was silent for a moment, and then he said, "Alive or dead, we're picking him up today." Before turning to Ajahn Jan, "Let's go. Papuang is waiting." It was 12:45 p.m. when they arrived at Papuang's house and found him lying on his bed surrounded by his family. Lumpa sat down on the bed looking at the dying man for a few moments. He stroked his face gently, calling him, "Papuang, Papuang." After some time, Papuang opened his eyes and turned his head towards Lumpa. "Papuang, do you know who I am?" Papuang nodded his head and looked at Lumpa. While groaning sounds still came from his mouth, tears started to flow down his cheeks. Lumpa put his hand on the old man's forehead and started to speak to him in a gentle but firm voice. "Papuang, you're a practitioner. You've been fighting this for a long time. When it's time for death to take your life, let it go. It belongs to death anyway. Why are you so possessive of it? You borrowed something, and now you've got to return it. Keep the sound inside. Why are you letting it out?" As Lumpa finished speaking, Papuang's groaning immediately ceased. Lumpa continued, "The body is impermanent and unreliable. It's not beautiful. It's old. You've used it for a long time. Go and look for a new body in that place that you saw in your vision when you were a monk. All this time, Lumpal was stroking Popo Wang's face. He turned to Colonel Songbun. Lumpal, what time is it? Colonel Songbun, 12:55, sir. Lumpal, another 5 minutes and he'll be gone. Lumpal kept stroking Popo Wang's face. At exactly 1 p.m., the dying man's eyes drooped and closed. Popo Wang had died at peace. ordinary for
the monks, the Sangha, to be present at most of the important transitions in life, or for those transitions to be brought to the monastics as a seeking of blessings. But that death is one that I think is particularly important, and to have that framework of the Dhamma and of Buddha Dhamma and Sangha as a perspective and framework within that dying process. And we all die, and being able to have that kind of foundation to approach that with.